You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Should we go?
Yeah, I think we already are.
All right. Welcome to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Welcome to this very special...
I love our shows outside, especially along Main Street or Thompson.
You get that real vibe of being outside and in nature.
What venture is all about? Loud motorcycles, emergency vehicles.
And wind. Breeze from the ocean. It's great. It's beautiful today.
We're here at Ventiki, and we're at, 701 East Main Street?
That's correct.
Ventura. So is there a longer title for Ventura? Or for Ventiki?
For Ventiki?
Ventiki. Ventura has
San
lots of
Buena
names,
Ventura, I believe. It's actually, Ventiki Tiki Lounge in Lanai.
And this is my first time here, and it's been on my list to come for, I don't know, a year and a half probably. I'm trying to think of when I first learned.
They've only been open 3 months.
With that, they were starting, learning that they were starting to 13. Open up.
Well, it's been on his list for 3 years.
Yes, I love the whole idea of it, and I had a friend who knew that you were opening up and said, you've got to come down. Your podcast is going to be great here. I know it. And now on this gorgeous August evening, here we are.
Yeah. Well, it should be said that Curtis lives in Camarillo, so it's not as easy for him to get home as Jason and I. So he needs to really plan his Ventura adventures.
Right. There's a company called DDI that will take your car home.
We prefer We're Driving.
nice one, Jovi.
Yes, WeDriving.com.
All right.
That'll be how I'm getting, especially since I've had a Mai Tai, and now I'm working on an altar sacrifice.
They're just tasty.
Yeah,
they are tasty. Scott, you mentioned make sure you stir it well, and there's a reason you said. I mean, you guys aren't shy about the alcohol in these drinks. Right?
No, these are throwbacks to the original Polynesian cocktails or tiki drinks, whatever you want to call them. They were all really high proof back in the day, and basically they were using different syrups made from, it could be nuts or any indigenous fruit from South Pacific islands. To really, cut the heat of the rum and lime juice first and foremost, or lemon juice. The really citric juices are what kills the heat of the alcohol, and then we add all these syrups and different old flavors that make them a little tastier than just really strong rum and lime juice.
All right.
Well, it sounds like you've got a little history about tiki kinds of drinks. I mean, when you decided to open up here in Ventura, what was your background? Why did you say, hey, a tiki bar is what I need to do here?
Well, one, the demographic in this town. I mean, the reason I live here is because I love old hot rods. I love old American pop culture. And this is really a throwback town. It's based around the surf culture, and the hot rods in town are real old hot rods. They don't look like late boats from the 70s with crazy paint jobs. And it's a laid-back vibe. It's very ocean-minded, and obviously tiki being the whole thing coming from the South Pacific, it's all islands, and that's kind of the vibe of Ventura here. I grew up, my grandparents used to take me to places just like this, and we'd go into the lounge, and it was Polynesian, Hawaiiana kind of look, and they'd go and have cocktails, and then we'd go to have dinner, and after dinner, we'd go back in and have cocktails, and my cousin and I, who are owners, along with Kerry Lewis, we'd run around with the sword picks and have, sword fights and put umbrellas in our hair and all that stuff. So it's really just a throwback to our childhood.
And where did you grow up, Scott? Was it
just about an hour and 15 minutes up 101 Santa Maria area.
Nice. So there was a Polynesian place up there?
At the Contiki Inn in Pismo Beach, just at the very, actually more like Shell Beach. The bar in there was called Trader Dick's, and it was there till about 19. Yeah.
Not to be confused with.
Not Vic's. I did say
not,
D.
Not Trader
Vic's. D,
yeah.
Not V.
All right.
Which they obviously stole.
Who came first?
The whole Vic's, for sure. And it was there till I think around the early 90s, and then they yanked it out and put in your typical sports bar,
Nice. So the tiki culture, the tiki drinks, who were they made for? Were they for the tourists? I don't even know if you know. Where did this
start? Of course,
obviously South Pacific, but who was drinking these?
Well, what happened was during World War II, there's a lot of guys stationed in the South Pacific. And when they came back, they missed that island vibe and the, tan girls and the strong drink and the palm trees and all that stuff. So this guy named Ernest Raymond Beaumont Gant, who later changed his name to Don Beach, He's from Louisiana.
Much easier to say.
Yeah, Don Beach. Yeah, exactly. Ernest Raymond Beaumont Gant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He, in 1934, he opened a little place on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood and sat about 25, 30 people. And he brought back a lot of his stuff from the South Pacific.
Is this a Tiki Tea Lounge or something?
No, Tiki Tea is a different entity. Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, that's that gentleman named Ray as well.
Right.
And that's been there for 60-some-odd years. But he came and started making these drinks for these, you know, people in Hollywood at the time, and it really took off. And as it took off, a lot of people were watching, and one of them was a guy named Victor Bergeron, who later became Trader Vic. And they had this long battle over the years of who made the original Mai Tai, which actually was a legal battle for 10 years, and wow. Trader Vic won. But the first Polynesian cocktails were really from Don Beach, and he actually brought the first one to the public, or the mass public, at the World's Fair in 1938, and that was the Zombie.
Oh, wow. Which you serve here, right?
We do. Yes, absolutely.
Very cool.
And the Zombie is, it's a familiar drink to me. I've heard about it, but what's the mix of that?
Rum, some more high-proof rum.
And okay. Something to make it taste not like rum.
Lots of juices. we had Falernum, Pernod.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, there's actually 14.
That's the original Zombie?
It's the original. We say the original, but a lot of the liquors, the labels that they used back in the day, the Demeraras, aren't in existence anymore. We get as close as we can, and everybody pretty much does that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So you said they had a legal battle for Mai Tai, but of course anybody can make a Mai Tai now. Was it just who had the first one? Is that what they were fighting about?
That was the whole thing.
Even though anybody can make it at any place now.
Well, because Trader Vic took it to the mass markets, and if you open Time magazine, there was a thing for Trader Vic's Mai Tai mix. Right. There was a thing for, you know, it was almost like Kiss did, you know, with rock and roll. You had lunch boxes and thermoses and anything you could put your name on, that's what Trader Vic was doing. So mm-hmm. Don Beach went, wait, I'm the originator, and let's go to court. So it ended up taking 10 years for it to ever get cleared up.
Now, Scott, because Mai Tai is so iconic, and when we think of a tiki bar, what's the background on the Mai Tai? As I know you and I have talked about before, so I have a little insider about the name, but it's not your typical story. It's not just a random name that was assigned. There's actually history to it.
There is, yeah. Actually, Trader Vic was, he had a place called Hinky Dinks in Oakland in 1944, and it was more like a steakhouse with a Polynesian lounge area. And I guess he had this Polynesian actress who, her and her husband were good customers of Vic's, and she came in one night and asked Vic to make her the very best rum drink off the top of his head that he could. And what he put together that we serve is what he did. He put it in front of her. She took a drink and started clapping her hands and saying, Mai Tai, which means the very best in Tahitian.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, my first experience with the Mai Tai was actually on a fishing boat in Hawaii. And so I have very fond memories of a Mai Tai. And, you know, just I find it fascinating that it wasn't a fight over, say, the trademark name Mai Tai, since you can get Mrs. T Mai Tai, you can get, right. Where, you know, I mean, whatever, right. It is, all these mixes. But it was just for bragging rights.
Just who was first, yeah. It's a big deal.
Battle of egos.
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, all this history. You're moving here. You look at, you see Ventura, and it needs a tiki bar.
I thought so.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
Right. I appreciate it, too. What was, I don't know, so warmly, I mean, were you welcomed with open arms? Were people kind of, wait, what's a tiki bar? You know, because I understand that there's a well-known, and you said it, the name of the one in
in
L.A.
Tiki.
And so, yeah. I mean, were people just, oh, finally we've got one here, or were they kind of laid back on that?
It was a mixed reaction. Yes, we were welcomed with open arms. It took us 11 months to open the place. We really had to redo everything, and literally thousands of people came by during construction and said, when are you opening? When are you opening? When are you opening? So, yeah, they definitely welcomed us. There were some people that were scared. especially being where we're located. We're on the border of residential downtown. And I think people think tiki bar, you know, you're going to go in, two drinks, feels like six. So what are they going to do outside here? Are they going to come up to my house? So I had a lot of people kind of, you know, they were scared, but they're also now my regular customers. So they understand the demographic. A lot of the younger, real young people don't really get tiki. They see expensive cocktails. They don't know what they're getting for that price. And it's all old. It probably reminds them of their grandparents. So my customers tend to be mid-30s to 85 years old. And
that's pretty good.
That's a
pretty good range.
Yeah, it's no problems. You know, everybody's been really respectful, and you know, I think it's a good little representation, like you were talking about. It's this great little patio area facing the beach and having some cocktails in the sun.
I don't see the tiki culture or the. I don't see that as a fighting culture, so I don't think you have any problems.
No, not so
it's
much.
It's like you can't be that mad if you're having this great drink. I mean, really, you know.
Well, and you were talking about too, and. Just the price of the drinks, whatever it is, but the looking at historical sizes of drinks too, you know, and so looking at a traditional cocktail, which was what 3 to 4 ounces, you know, and now they're coming in to 16 or 24 ounces, and then you end up they're warm by the time you finish it, you know.
Right.
I didn't have any problem finishing that Mai Tai before it was warm, so I think this is certainly bigger than the historical conception of a cocktail, but it's still, there's plenty of chill factor in these glasses to get you all the way through.
To get you all the way through, exactly.
Well, Scott, to fuel some of that controversy that Curtis is digging for, when you did open, and we think about Polynesian culture, the tiki culture, luau's, topless women dancing, I mean, there you weren't without a little more controversy outside of the drinks when you first opened.
Right. We traditionally there's
there is a lot of topless.
There's a lot of top. Well, I just don't know.
I don't want to get
you know. I don't want to offend anybody at all. But we did have a painting that had a topless woman on it, and it was the day after the push and pull parade on the 4th of July. I was notified via the Californian website that we're not kid friendly. Well, back in the day, all these we tried to really. Bring the feel of 1958 through 62 here, and there was no problem with topless women on ashtrays and painted on the wall. Society's different, you know, and everybody's a little bit more uptight. So yeah, there was a little bit of problem with that, and we had no problem going in and putting a bikini top on our wahini, and it seemed like that took care of the problem.
Everyone's speechless.
I threw it out the breaker. What is wrong with people?
We sure have advanced in 50 years, haven't we?
it's a welcome advance, too.
We won't get political on the show, but we definitely have advanced in 50 years. But Scott, I know you, I remember seeing you, you know, we both opened about the same time, so I remember seeing you out here. You did a lot of this yourself. You were,
absolutely.
I remember driving by, you were here, the lights were on, you were going. So take us kind of through that. I mean, did you just for it?
I was very fortunate. My two partners is a friend of mine, Carrie Lewis, and my cousin Stacy. And my cousin and I have been talking about opening a bar for 20 some odd years, and it just so happened in our careers, it came at the right time to do it. We found the spot that I thought was perfect. It's nice and small. It's intimate. You know, you talk to people sitting at the bar and you make friends. It's not some big, giant place. That's not personal. We jumped right into it. But fortunately, our architect is my cousin's husband. It was a challenge for sure. We have a very tiny kitchen, and, you know, they require you, which you know.
Right.
Dry storage and all that stuff. And it was really a challenge, but he figured it out. And we went through a couple of different contractors that just didn't see our vision. And as a restaurant owner and somebody who's built one, you totally understand how that goes. Took us a little longer than we expected. And actually, the day we opened, about a half an hour before we opened the doors to the public, they were pulling concrete bags off of our patio.
Perfect.
There was concrete dust all over the place, and I'm losing my mind. But it was. We just went for it, and fortunately, it was definitely more expensive than we thought it would be. But it didn't get out of control, and everything was built with a lot of the local tiki files in town. Dustin Von Tiki, Dustin Darrow is his artist name is Von Tiki, does the carvings inside and out here. All of our signage. He was huge. He actually introduced me to a man named Sven Kirsten. We were invited up to his house in Silver Lake. He wrote the Book of Tiki.
It's a very Polynesian name, Sven.
You know what? It's crazy how the Dutch and Germans are freaks about tiki.
Oh, yeah?
It's nutballs. And actually, Sven Kirsten, they call him Big Brother Tiki, and his word is law in the entire tiki culture. Wow. He wrote the Book of Tiki, Tiki Style, Tiki Modern.
Is his house all...
It's
Polynesian?
Unreal. It's a tiki. It would take you a week to look at every tiki trinket he has. Yeah. And it actually looks down on Silver Lake, and the Hollywood sign's right next to him. Nice. And his palm trees are all actually carved by these very famous tiki carvers. It's nuts. But we got his blessing on our vision, which was great for me because I was afraid we were the core tiki files would come in and poo-poo me on, you know, that's not right, that's not right. And, and with Sven's help, it really helped. And like I said, Dustin... some other local tiki files, a guy, Dr. Shocker, helped out tremendously, and Rob Roy and our friend Will all got really hands-on. We had to build our bar, we had a good crew from Universal Studios come in that are all just friends of ours, you know, that just wanted to see this happen. So
excellent.
It was not me. It was me with a ton of help.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was joking with Curtis about 3 months, but you've been open 13 months, you said?
We've been open 13 months, yeah.
Congratulations. Yep. That's awesome.
So when we talk about the drinks, as I'm looking through the list here, the cocktail list, you've got traditional tiki or classic tikis. You go to the modern. You go to your specialties. But one of the things that carries through the whole way is fresh juices. And you hit on that just a little bit ago, too. And so I'm guessing Mrs. T's. Is not
that is not in the house. No.
Hey, don't forget about Mr. T. Okay?
Oh, Mr. T.
Mr. and Mrs.
I beat it to who?
It's not that Mr. T.
No, that one. So, as you're researching these, you know, you talked about especially the Mai Tai and the history of that. Where does somebody go to, first of all, learn the history of these classic cocktails, and then, you know, obviously the flavor profile is why you decided to go with fresh juices. But I wonder if you can kind of go from the history of those all the way through to what you're doing right now.
Well, to be a legitimate tiki bar in my eyes, you should do it the same way they did back in the day. We don't do the hand squeezer on each one because it's a certain time I might line up 18 Mai Tais at a time. And that would be...
That's a lot of squeezing.
That's a lot of squeezing. We do squeeze fresh juice, and there's fresh juices available out there that are exactly that. There's no preservatives. They're hard to find, but they're out there. It's just all about trying to keep it as true to what it was back then nowadays. And the problem with these Polynesian cocktails is really a lot of the Asian restaurants and resorts on islands took over that in the 70s. The Vietnam War really was a huge part of killing the tiki culture.
Really?
Because the whole consciousness of the public had changed. Their drug of choice wasn't alcohol anymore. They started smoking pot and eating, you know, hallucinogenics and growing long beards and hair, and kind of tiki bars kind of were looked at by only, you know, visited by the man.
Well, and you know, just looking at some iconic tiki art. So I don't know if you're familiar with Shag. So he does all
very
the
familiar.
Okay, so
yeah.
But it's a very madman sort of suit and very clean cut, and
it is.
Yeah, it's not the long hair hippie kind of crew.
Madman is perfect. Yeah, it's and that's another part of the tiki culture is mid-century modern, and that's the funky rock lamps that we have inside and the kind of the furniture your grandparents. There's another Harley. The furniture that your parents wanted to get rid of. They just give it away, all the sharp lines. It's very a Palm Springs-y kind of feel. And that, you know, over the years, a lot of different genres have adopted the tiki culture, like surfing. Surfers adopted it with the big kahuna and Gidget and all that. The hot rod culture, the rockabillies, they adopted it because they're driving the cars that were parked out in front of the tiki bars, and they're all kind of throwback guys. So that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm. So when the fruit juices that you were talking about, bringing it in, these are things that, I don't know, available to a restaurant owner, or is this something that if somebody's going to do this at home, I mean, obviously we could probably, on a small scale, we're just hand squeezing these things.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can do it for each cocktail, or you can just grab a juicer and grab a bag of limes from Trader Joe's or wherever. Or Trader Dick's. And, you know, the best way to go about it, it's not ever cheap to set up a bar for Polynesian cocktails, right? Because if you want to make four or five of them, you're going to have so many ingredients. I mean, I've got seven bitters, styles of bitters behind the bar alone. But you can go, Beach Bum Barry is an author of a book called The Grog Log and another one called Intoxica. And he's just recently released a new book, and I can't remember the name of it. It's beautiful. I saw a coffee table version of it at Mike Carver's house, actually. But he really gives you not only in the introduction what I've just told you about, you know, Don Beach and Trader Vic, but it goes into these recipes, and it gives you the original recipe with what they used back then and what you can substitute it for now, down to even the brands, you know. That's probably the best thing, is just research Beach Bum Barry and be prepared to go to BevMo with a really fat wallet full of money. Now,
when we think about people who may want to be doing, you know, either a theme party at their house or just...
We really cater.
You cater? Is that for all those listening?
Why buy all those ingredients? Yeah.
But if someone says, I want to set up a tiki bar in my house, I want to have these things on hand, are there other benefits and advantages to them by using fresh juices besides flavor? Are there any other comparison between like a cruise line tiki drink versus a fresh made like you're talking about, besides flavor?
Not really besides flavor. I mean, that's really the core of it. I mean, you're not getting, if you're worried about having preservatives and things like that. But yeah, one thing about these drinks, I don't know if it's because we use good liquor or if we use fresh ingredients, but it's pretty rare, unless you really go over the top, to leave here with, you know, the next morning with a hangover. Trust me, I've tried.
Well, and I think you hit a really good point too, is, you know, the quality liquor,
yeah, quality and fresh ingredients.
And the fresh ingredients. So yeah. Either way, I mean, I don't want to, I don't think I need to do that experiment. You know, bad liquor and good juices.
That might be
or good liquor and bad juices. I mean, I don't need to do that. Let's just stick to the good and the good. How's that sound?
Cause, you know, if you stay here and don't go anywhere else, then they're almost guaranteeing you no hangover. But if you go somewhere else, if you start mixing something else in your night, there's no guarantee what's going to happen.
Well, a lot of things that happen here, that we get a lot of people that come in, they hear about that we're Mai Tai is our signature drink, and that we do as close to the original as possible. And I get a lot of Hawaiians that come in here. And they'll go, oh, I know the Mai Tai, brah. I'm from Hawaii. Well, Hawaiian's not even Mai Tai isn't even a Hawaiian word. It's Tahitian, and it was made in a bar in Oakland. So it didn't have, but because, it baffles them. A lot of them know, and a lot of them go, nah, brah, you don't know what you're talking about, Holly boy. You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, try one.
Oh, wait.
And yeah. that's a lot where these resorts in Hawaii took over the Mai Tai, and they started cheapening them and throwing pineapple juice and maraschino syrup and orange juice. And the only juice in a Mai Tai is fresh lime juice. Everything else is syrups and liquor.
So how about your favorite cocktail? Do you have a favorite one here?
I have a couple favorites. I can't get away from the Mai Tai. That's as good a cocktail as I've ever tasted. I love the Jet Pilot. It's a really high-proof cocktail. It was created in the early 70s. The original version was called a Test Pilot. And then everybody steals from each other, especially back in the day, you know. So they just changed it from Test to Jet.
They advanced. The testing was over. And
now you got your wings.
Testing. Yeah, we're done.
I love the Jet Pilot. It's a drink that's been around for 40-some-odd years. It's been described as Christmas in a glass. It's got cinnamon syrup. It's Falernum. It's Pernod. Lots of rum. Lots of Demerara rum and 151 rum. It's a mighty powerful, very complex cocktail. And the Hurricane is another one that we run on special. It will be on our new menu that will be out very soon. And it's
a real hurricane, not something that
it's not the Pat. Well, Pat O'Brien's in New Orleans did make the original hurricane.
Okay. But it's not the one that you see. I mean, when you think hurricane, now you just think this like
bright red fruit punch.
Yeah,
no.
Fruit punchy.
No, it's literally rum and juice and a little bit of syrup.
Right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I don't know if you guys noticed on the menu, I think is really cool. we're throwing out all these names and the originators of these drinks. You give homage to all those individuals on the drink description. You say where it was originated, who originated it, and even down on the classic area, you give the year if possible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty cool aspect. If you want to know some of the history that we're talking about, you just have to look at the menu.
It definitely leads back to what Scott said earlier, too, about being poo-pooed by, you know, Ventiki purists, that you give the credit where the credit is due, kind of thing.
Yeah. And the name, I mean, even though it's obvious, but how many versions of names, or was that just like, oh, this is it?
We had about 200 names written down. And one of them that we were going to go with, because we thought it was really artsy and cool, was the Sailor and Sparrow. And everybody kept coming back to us calling it the Sailor and Swallow. And at that point, we went, we're going to go different. Thank you. Yeah. So we went a whole different. We're like, that's getting confused way too much.
Sailors are filthy bastards, aren't they?
So we actually, my cousin, one of the partners, her uncle was a marketing specialist for Coors. And we threw this list of 200 names, and he literally just went, you're an idiot if you don't pick this one. It's so obvious.
Did he
Tiki
know
Bar
about,
in Ventura.
Like, Ventucky, did he know about that whole
oh,
thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
He had that little bit of.
Yeah, he knew about it. And we get people that say, oh, does it have anything to do with Ventucky? And I said, no, I'd open a place in Oakview if I wanted to do something with Ventucky. But,
Second location coming soon.
We'll have to call it Oak Tiki.
Oak Tiki.
Yeah.
Oak Tiki. Hey.
Well, I think maybe it's a good time
those all be barrel-aged tiki drinks?
To take a drink. Well, we've got a couple poo-poos here to kind of cleanse our palate.
Jason's
looking at a couple of the social media things.
Yeah, we want to make sure that everyone can find them. So you can go to ventikilounge.com. That's going to be your main hub for all Ventiki menus, social media jump-off points, and make sure to give them a like on their Facebook page as well. If you're all about photos, which lately we've been all about the photos of our drinks, go to Instagram and follow them at Ventiki Lounge, and that's where you're going to find all kinds of cool shots. The interior of the restaurant, it deserves a stop-in for one, but if you can't get here to Ventura anytime soon, you can see all the cool stuff and all the great decor at Instagram account at Ventiki Lounge.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, it's a good break point.
All right, so welcome back.
Curtis is like I think he's just dying for that next drink.
He hasn't even finished his second.
He's all parched.
No,
you know that scene in...
I know, I'm trying to slow down just a little bit.
That was like that scene in Me, Myself, and Irene where Jim Carrey's like all dehydrated and his lips are all stuck together. Curtis is like, just cut to the drink. Just cut to the drink.
And fade. Scene. All right, we'll catch you in just a couple minutes.
All right.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you like this podcast, make sure you like us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Give us a like and share it with all your friends. We'd appreciate it. Cheers!